Okay, all right, let's start with a word prayer. Father, we give this time to you as we worship you this morning, as we start off by studying the word and being renewed and transformed by your word. And as we're on this topic, God knows my Lord, Jehovah Elion, and we call you out by this name. And the more we learn about this, the more we will adore you and worship you, in a wider range of worship, because we know more intimately about this name. May Spirit enlighten us and open our eyes and open our ears, so that we may drink of what you have to provide through the word. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. last week we ended by the flying fire possession. Do you guys remember? Kind of. For those of you guys who were here, that Melchizedek met Abram halfway, right? Well, not halfway, but on his way back from the battle against the four kings. And he presented himself, said, "Hey, you are blessed because the buyer, the possessor of heaven and earth has blessed you." And he presented to him, saying, "Do you want the God who possesses everything, or do you want the goods from the king of Sodom, who's going to offer you everything, material-wise, right?" So Abram lifted his hands when he met Sodom. He says, "I will not take a thread or sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram.'" So his position is obviously clear. He says, "You know what? I've promised God already that I'm not going to take anything from you, because I want God, who is the possessor. I don't want the possession," right? And so we enter into the next phrase, where Melchizedek says, "God of Most High, who has delivered your enemy into your hands." So again, this is Melchizedek kind of giving definition of what it means to, what God the Most High means. Can someone read that? Genesis 13, 12 to 18 for us? Just loud and clear. That would be great. So quick reading.
"Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, 'After Lot has separated from them, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring can also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you.' So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks and Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord."
Okay, so this is obviously the story before Abram fought the four kings, right? I have a question for you guys to discuss. This is, as I'm studying this, again, this is just what, a question that came up. This is not a question that I ever seen in commentary, but it's a question that I think it will help us to process what is going on. So if you can get into groups of three or four, based on what you know of this story, did Abram ask Jehovah if he should rescue Lot? Did you ever ask that question? And why would that matter? We know Abram, Lot is Abram's, what, nephew? So it's like me rescuing Ryan. Ryan was taken away. Of course I would, right? Or would I? Same thing with Abram and Job and Lot. But I want to ask, going to your groups, did Abram ask God if he should rescue Lot? Okay, go break up into small groups. All right. Welcome back. So we'll talk it through together. Regardless of this the question, we know the outcome is that God delivered Abraham, right? But did Abraham ask? Why would it matter? He didn't ask. I see Bex going, no, he didn't ask. He said, yeah, I don't see it in here. Why would it matter whether he asked or not? It's family. You say family. You just do it. Because that's what we do. Right? We say family. Does God have a say in it? Do you ask God about these things? Is it, so when it's family, you don't ask God. But if it's not family, ask God. Is that the rule? What's the rule? Now, I have you guys read this verse. You know, you notice that now the men of Sodom were wicked and great sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram after Lot separated from him. Right? It's very clear. There's a very clear distinction. After Lot left, God says, lift up your eyes. I promised you this land. I'll give you. He promised his offspring. He promised his land. These are the two promises. The third promise is salvation will come all nations. He will be a blessing to all nations. It's not in here. But these are the two major promises that God gives Abram after Lot left. And notice, if you recall, God was going to destroy Sodom. Why was Lot saved? These are all Bible Sunday school stories. Why was Lot saved? You guys remember? Huh? Abram interceded. Yes, please don't. Okay. So I ask again, did Abram ask Jehovah if he should rescue Lot? He did not. So he just did it.
I was commenting back here that yes, he is family, but when Abraham Sarai left Haran or whatever, the homeland, like Lot came with them. I'm like, where's his parents? Where's the other relatives? There's something about a sense of like Abraham is kind of like guardian almost of Lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this sense of responsibility, I think, like almost like a son.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, it's not just a nephew. It's a, like, he came with me. He,
yeah.
He embarked on this journey with me. And even though he's living in a different city, like, I still need to care for him, right? So
yeah.
I feel like that decision came not only because he's family, but Lot is, came with him.
And he was a baby.
Yes. Very much so. There's a responsibility. I'm not saying Abraham did the wrong thing. There is a great responsibility for your family. And we will probably do the same thing as Abraham did. For Ryan chose to live in Sodom. Let's go save him. Yes, of course. Of course. As an uncle? Of course. I'll probably go. I don't have time. I'm going to just go save him, right? Because Nancy's going to be sending a letter. Hey, how's my son? Well, he's in Sodom. He got taken. Yeah. I have a responsibility. Yeah.
I was just thinking now, maybe it's more of like, this doesn't really answer your question, but if maybe it's more like he chose to save him despite Lot's decisions.
Okay.
Like,
you shouldn't have gone there.
Like, right, okay. he despite that, he still chose to save him. And in doing so, he met
Melchizedek. Uh-huh.
Otherwise, he wouldn't ever go be doing that. He just stayed in the place. Right?
Yeah.
He came out, risked his life to save an unworthy nephew.
Okay.
Who made bad choices.
That's true. Yeah, who made bad choices and unworthy.
That led to his meaning.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is a pure speculation,
yeah.
But it is a very interesting part of the text that I never looked into, and that's why I just want us to talk about it in class. Now, does Abram have a tendency to just do things without consulting God? He does. Remember when he met King Abimelech? What did he do? What did he say? My wife is my
sister.
Yeah. So he didn't consult God. And then what did God do to Abimelech? We know these stories. He's the father Abraham. We know these stories very well. God came into a dream to Abimelech, talk to Abimelech, hey, that's Abraham, that's my anointed one, that's my God, wife, do not touch her, right, or else, right? God kind of intervened. God intervened because God had a covenant with Abram. He has something with Abram. He has a work yet to be finished with Abram.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, yeah. This promise that you brought up in 14, like, that's not a new promise. That's not a new blessing. I mean, it appears as if God is blessing him for this decision, which I think he is. But God's just repeating the promise that he gave to Abram.
He keeps on repeating it anyway.
12. Yeah. So it's not like a new blessing, but it is. He's affirming what he's doing, but it's as if Abram's clearly not doing anything. Not that he needs to, right?
No.
To help God fulfill his promise.
Yeah, we did with God Elroy. He didn't consult God, obviously. He said, me and my wife, we got it taken care of.
Yeah,
right?
God's finding him.
And then God resolved that situation for them. So Abram had this track record, just doing things on his own. And, you know, we always say he has 318 trained men. That's great. That's because he probably feels really strong. He has the wits. He's an Israelite. No, he's a Hebrew, right?
He's rich. He's rich.
He's rich. He's strong. He has trained men, Leonidas, right, on his team. He can do everything. Yeah.
People don't know.
Leonidas. 300 Spartan. It's a new movie. Sorry. That's a bad reference for Bible study. I'm sorry. Okay.
It's okay. God fulfills.
So there's something. When God has a, you know, when I'm reading this, when God has a mark on you in a good way, and he says, you are my son, you are my daughter, if things are not done, not finished with what I planned for you, I'm going to intercede. I am going to intercede. Even if you make these bad choices, not that you should, but I have a covenant with you. That's super important to know that you have a covenant with God, because he's got you. He's got you. Even if you don't want him to get you. Okay? So Abram is kind of this character. So no, he did not consult. Yeah, did he do the wrong thing? I don't want to say. But he did what any of us would do, just save your nephew. So instead of saying, so maybe that's what Melchizedek saying, blessed be the God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. He needed to make sure. By the way, do you think could Melchizedek be telling Abraham this? You think you rescue Lot, but it's actually you who I rescued. You thought your 318 men was all that great to defeat an army? You actually would have got slaughtered. Could it be? You actually would have got slaughtered if I did not deliver your enemy into your hands. You thought you were so ingenious. You split your army. You chased them in the night. And you brought Lot back. Could God be saying, could Melchizedek saying, I got to stop you before you meet the king of Sodom. This God who is so big, so high above, most high God, he delivers your enemy into your hands. Could it be that, in fact, you were rescued? Because if I did not intervene, you would have been slaughtered and killed, along with the 318 men. Have you guys ever seen it this way? Instead of just saying, oh yeah, God was with me, I'm fighting and I'm winning. But actually God says, oh, you did not consult me. But whether you did or not, I have a promise with you. You haven't had a child yet. You haven't possessed the land yet. My promise, God's promise hasn't been fulfilled on his life. So I'm going to have to intervene. I'm going to have to deliver your enemy into your hands. What are your thoughts about that? Maybe that's why the King Melchizedek cut him off so abruptly before he met the king of Sodom.
Dialogues prior to all of this, with his dialogue with God, he never really consults God on anything, so I don't think.
Okay.
It's not like the prophets or the kings after who always ask, should we take this battle or not? I think this is just a different era where like that hasn't come to play yet. So it's almost like this is the first time God letting one of his, you know, people know that, oh, by the way, even things like battles, you think it's just about your strength, but you need to know that I was involved in it.
Yeah.
You're my chosen now, so I'm involved. So it was kind of like a, not so much like a rebuke or reminder, but more of a new framework, it's like a paradigm shift of thinking about where your successes come from, where your provision or your strength, where all of that comes from. It's as if to say, yeah, it's not just going to be, you know, you sow, you reap. It's like, I'm involved in this, and you'll see things, successes that you have to know it's from me.
That was super important for Abram to know.
Yeah, I think it was more of a, I don't feel like it was a, you forgot to ask me.
Right.
I think it's more of a, let me tell you for the first time as my people, what I'm doing, what I'm going to be doing for your people. Like, it's a new framework. Because I think if Melchizedek, Christ didn't come at that moment, the way he spoke to the kings would have been just a warrior, you know, a fighter versus fighter, you know, whatever. But God is now involved in that conversation. So, I don't know. To me, maybe it's more of a paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what you said, that the difference is that I'm involved now because I've taken ownership of you, just like Abraham has ownership of Lot. Whether or not you consulted me to go into this battle, you are my child. I have a covenant with you. Because I have a promise for your life, I'm going to get involved. You and I cannot be separated. Just like all of us who believe in Jesus, and that we are brought into God's presence, that we cannot be separated. The Bible says we cannot be separated from God. He is intricately involved with us, whether or not we know it. Whether or not we actually follow sometimes. He says, but I am involved with you, whether you like it or not. And this also made me think that how many times have we, just in life, have we thought, oh, I did that without these resources. I achieved this only in this short amount of time. Oh, I got by with not even studying. Oh, I got in. I seriously got, you know, like when I went to UCLA, like, oh, I got in and I didn't do nothing. I'm special. I'm good, right? I think that's, you know, that's what I thought of, you know. Oh, I won this game, and I didn't practice. I wore my worst shoes, and I still beat them, right? There's a sense of pride in there. And God's reminding me, actually, you would have been slaughtered. Actually, you would not have got in. Actually, you would not have achieved. You would have failed miserably, even more so, if I didn't get involved. I was like, oh, I never thought about it that way. I thought it was like, I love it when I can achieve, even with less. Then I can tell people, dude, I won that game and I didn't even have a helmet on. Actually, if it weren't for God protecting your head, you would have got a concussion. It's almost like that, right? Abram, if it weren't for me, your 318 trained men, it wouldn't mean anything. It's great you used your resources, that's good. But if it weren't for me, the fact that I deliver your enemy into your hands, right? Where's that? Where's that verse? Right here. Who has delivered your enemy into your hands. And what's interesting is this. God's blessing and rescue in our worldly victories can be easily confused. So that's what Melchizedek was helping Abram understand. Take inventory of some of the victories. They actually could be God's rescue or blessing. In fact, this led me to look at the other verses that have gone most high. And every time Jehovah Elion is mentioned, look at the context. It is also always in a rescue mission. Not just he's a high God who's out there. Can we read, Clara, can you read the first verse and then just move on to Abby?
And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed by God Most High, who has delivered your enemy into your
hand. He who dwells in the shelter of the Lord Most High and abides in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Okay, can you read? Okay. At least 57:2-3.
I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs or accomplishes all things for me.
You save me?
Oh. He will put me to shame, him who trembles on me. I will send out his steadfast love to me.
Okay.
Cindy,
it's okay. It's okay.
I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs and accomplishes all things.
Peter.
They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their redeemer.
Okay. So you notice that every time that the God Most High is mentioned, it is deliverance. It is my refuge, my place of hiding. It is saving me, right? It is, he's doing everything for me. He's my redeemer. God Most High. And that's what Melchizedek was telling Abram. I am God Most High because, not because I'm so high up. I am God Most High is because I'm the one who always rescues you. I'm up there because I'm able to rescue you, to cover you. That's Jackson. And which is why so this is kind of my definition. Final short definition is why we are learning about God Most High, Jehovah Elion, because I am your covering. He's high up, not just because he's so big and great. He's high up because he's able to cover you and protect you. We think we're actually okay like Abram many times, but we're actually not. Other than the fact that God delivered us, delivered our enemies into our hands, and that he's the one who buys us, acquires us, and redeems us. He's the God who covers us, and that's why he's most high. What are your, should we break into small groups, or think we can try to just, any thoughts after these 2 weeks? Like, what do you think about this ending? What do you think about this, definition, I guess, of God Most High? Do you think that's an okay definition? That, does that help you to understand that he's your covering?
This is Bob.
Okay, Bob.
So, not gonna answer this question specifically, but I do want to make a comment on when we see. Sorry if my thoughts are all over the place. I'm just a little tired, but anyways. I think we can relate to, just generally speaking, we can relate to Abram. He constantly, over and over again, does things kind of knee-jerk, makes his own decisions, establish that, right? So I kind of cheated a little bit. I did look down the internet, but anyways, he, even before, you know, like we're reading about the God, the promise that God made to Abram and Sarai, right? But even before that, or I don't know my Bible timeline, but anyways, do you guys remember that? You know, what was it? Abram, I guess, before meeting, basically saying that he lied about his relationship with Sarai, like saying that he was his sister or something right, like that, right? So even with that example, I mean, we see example after example that, you know, he kind of does his own thing, right? Like trying to, I wouldn't say manipulate the situation, but kind of changes or kind of does things on his own hands, right? So I just wanted to make that comment of, yeah, we can kind of relate to that, couldn't we? Like we kind of take a lot of things into our own hands. We do what we think is right, right? So I just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. I think that's kind of the main gist of this entire storyline, is that when I studied it a little bit more, is that if when we go to heaven and there was a video, or I just have video, Bob probably doesn't need a video, so like this, right? We probably would see thousands of rescues that we were not aware of. We thought it was just a, I just did it. Because I can't. But actually, God is saying, yeah, some of it, yeah, it's not that you have to consult God if you can eat, you know, chicken McNuggets. Well, you might, because those are dangerous things, okay? Yeah. But those are, you know, but there's a lot of things that maybe we don't even consult. We just do it because we can. But God said, oh, I rescued you from that. Because you did not consult me. It seems right to a man's eye, but my ways are higher than your ways. Maybe you shouldn't have rescued Lot. I would have done it myself in a different way. But I had to rescue you. I had to rescue you because you did it your way. And we will see thousands of rescue missions. just of your life, my life, thousands of rescue missions. Like, that would have happened? What, that would have happened? So it's like God is reminding Abram, like, remember that I am your redeemer. Consult me. God is not trying to say, hey, just follow my commandments and follow the rules. He's saying, I don't want you to get hurt, but I will still rescue you, because if you don't consult me, you might get hurt. So a lot of rescue missions. Yeah, thank you, Bob. We can definitely relate to this. Anyone else? What's your thoughts? Mm-hmm.
And you just also see so much of that, like the rescue missions, definitely the mercy part of it, right?
Yeah.
Time and time again, but I'm reading chapters 12 and 13, and throughout time and time again, God also continues to keep saying, you know, God just appears and tells Abram, this is your land, I'm going to give you.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Abram does something kind of awkward, and God rescues him, and then God then tells him, by the way, this is the land I'm going to give you.
Yeah.
And then Abram does something awkward, rescues him,
yeah,
and God reminds him,
right,
I'm still going to give you this land.
I'm still going to give it to you.
I'm still going to give it to you. So now you realize that is grace.
He cannot fail. He cannot fail. He does not deserve it.
Put somebody who deserves it.
Yeah.
Yes, God still does. You know, and it's
yeah.
As we read through this, it's kind of laughable, but yet, you know, to Bob's point, this is us every day. This is our life, right?
Uh-huh.
And if you put it together, you really see the grace and mercy from the beginning.
Right. Yeah. And then even though God tells him, he already hears God's voice audibly, but then God's like, I'm going to send Melchizedek out of nowhere, another king. Let's have bread and wine. Let's sit down. Let's have bread and wine. Let's make this real, right? And Abraham, after that, still does something a little off. A lot of things that are off. But Melchizedek shows up, or Jesus, right? He shows up, say, let's sit down. Let me make it clear to you. I bought you with a price. And let me make it clear to you that I'm the one who won the war for you. So, yeah, we are Abram. Abram. Definitely, we are Abram. But thank God, God is not. God says, I bought you. I'm the Most High, I'm your covering, I'll rescue you.
You know, right when you said that for the first time a few minutes ago, like God Most High is now, he's high and he's also covering.
Mm-hmm.
Like I sense like comfort and peace right when you said that, because it's not like God had to change or give a different description of himself. He says, I'm the Most High. And it's not like he said, well, now I'm the Most Near. He said, I'm the Most High. And that covering is just so great and so complete that it will reach you. So it was a, not only a very personal, like, covering feel, it was like a really great covering, if you will. And so I just sensed that real peace, right, when you said that. So I just wanted to mention that.
Mm.
And this is completely unrelated, but I just had a funny thought reading about this passage like weeks ago about when they went into, what is it, Egypt or something, and they're like, oh, you're so beautiful, they're gonna think they're gonna kill me and take you as whatever. She was like 80 years old, you guys, like a grandma. And like, how beautiful has she been? Like wrinkle free for like the pharaoh or the leader to like want her. Anyway, sorry, I just thought
they were,
it wasn't like a young lady.
I think they were way more, the health was much better than that.
I'm just saying, you know, they usually take like a teenage girl, but like she was 80, you guys. Like I laughed at that because it's hard to explain.
That's interesting, yes.
Okay, sorry, that was totally unrelated.
Totally unrelated. Yeah. All right, yeah. He is our covering. That's why he's so high. He can cover us. Yeah.
Frank, so I've never thought of, you know, I mean, I never thought of it this way, of God covering us, but I'm glad you did make mention of that. So it does make sense to me. You know, think about how many mistakes we've made, you know, how many sins we've committed, and we've been protected, we've been covered, right? The time, I mean, we're still here, right? Yeah. So I'm glad you use that term, covered. I've never thought of it that way, but it does make sense.
Thank you, Bobby. Yes, agree.
Anyone else? Are we glad that God covers us? Like the umbrella insurance, right? Covers everything. Yeah.
I think there is a, from hearing what you guys say, I think it's important that we all know God is wanting to use us. Every day with us. It's just like you say, he's protecting, he's covering us, he's protecting us. But I think the important thing for me is in here, God revealed this character to Abraham.
Mm, yeah.
So, you know, I feel like for me is, yes, God, we acknowledge, I know God. Process, but why counsel him everything? Probably not. I will not probably, because it's just too much work.
Yeah.
but because I like try to establish the time spent with him, like I was like stuff like that, right? So sometimes it's not necessarily I desire him, but I know that's the time I need to talk to him or pray. And then that's sometimes the time God will reveal himself to me.
Yeah.
I think it's, for me, it's important that with the journey of the faith, God will reveal himself to us.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that's that this passage spoke to you that God revealed in a very real way, right?
Sure.
So how much more compared to the Old Testament, he can reveal himself every day with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that any time that we would take that time, he will reveal himself. In a very real way. Sometimes it's hard to teach or explain it, but he just reveals it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. And I like the fact that you can't explain it because it's the supernatural part. I can't explain it, but he just reveals something to me. I feel him. It's unexplainable. Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, if I may, to go back to that first question that you asked of why Abram saved Lot. Because you think about prior to them separating Abram and Lot, wasn't there some strife? That's why they separated, right? So my initial thought to that question was, and why Abram took the initiative to you know, to make an attempt to save Lot was because, you know, maybe Abram wanted to restore that relationship with Lot because there was a prior strife, prior tension. So, which also then led me to think, well, isn't that what Jesus wants to do, right? Which is to restore a relationship, a broken relationship, because prior to us knowing him, there was a broken relationship, right? But because of what Jesus did on the cross, that relationship was restored, right? So that's kind of off topic, you know, but my train of thought.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. That's a great point. In fact, the Bible says that that's what Jesus came to do. His ministry is a ministry of reconciliation, right? His whole mission was to reconcile us to God so that there's no more strife and no more problems between us and God. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, I like the picture of covering, you know, like, because when you tell the picture, like, the most high, so you can cover the most, like, ground.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as, like, just throw, like, a, I don't know, blanket or something down,
yeah.
From higher. Like,
oh, yeah, a blanket.
But I think also when I think of most high, or God most high, there's, like, also this picture of, like, above everything else, in terms of just, like, he deserves all the praise and he deserves all the focus, right? So in one sense, he's there for us, to cover us, but then, on the other hand, like, he deserves all of our focus and praise as well. And I guess all, like, we should be remembering him all the time, which is what Abraham doesn't do, but this is a reminder of, like, hey, I'm above all things.
Yeah.
And then, like, as I think of, like, praise, I think of, like, oh, you lift your hands up, and then, okay, there's, like, that picture. I don't know if this is related, but it's, like, that picture of, like, he's high, so you gotta lift your hands to him.
Oh, I see. there is something here, because... Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I mean, verse 20, that's exactly what Melchizedek said. Blessed be God. Usually, in verse 20, I don't know if you have your Bibles open, but this is interesting. I wasn't going to bring this up, but... blessed be Abraham. That's the first part. Abraham, you're blessed by God. And then verse 20, actually it says, bless God. Just the difference there. That's significant. One, you know, Jesus, like, Melchizedek is hard to say for me. So he's saying, hey, Abraham, you're blessed by God. And then the next verse, he says, bless God, exalted. Anointed is God, because he's the one who rescued you. And then Abraham lifted his hands, right? He says, I solemnly swear, right? I lifted his hands. So there's something about lifting hands. It's all over the Bible. It's all over the church, global church. There's something about lifting hands. I'm not as free yet. But there is definitely some biblical things about lifting hands, right, Daniel? And you're in worship, you know. You're the, right? Yeah, there's something about hand lifting, and we talked about it a little bit last week, too. Lifting hands, open hands. Yeah. And it's a high up. You can't, and you don't do this, right? Yeah, I was thinking, you just can't, it just doesn't. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Oh, bless you, Lord. It just doesn't work. This is weird, too. It has to be this way. There's no other way. I don't know. There's something there. So anyway, thank you, Daniel. All right. Brother Bob, can you end in prayer for us this morning?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Lord God, we thank you that you give us this time to learn about you. We thank you that maybe it is in our best interest not to know or understand everything, every little bit of detail, but so that we can trust you, that we, and there are times where you do need to intervene and break down our pride. And Lord, we may not like it, but we do see your covering or protection over us over all those things, all those times. So during the midst of it, we, in our human nature, it's so hard to give you thanks. But once we get out of that tunnel and we see why you did what you did, we must thank you for those times of trial, and thank you for those times of bringing us out of those trials. Lord, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you that even though time after time we want to make our own decisions and we realize it's wrong, and time after time of all the times that we have sinned, Lord, we just thank you that we are still your children. It doesn't matter what we did. And we just thank you for the restoration of relationship between us and you, and that we may be called your children, and we really thank you for that. So Lord, we just thank you for Jesus. We have learned that so many times, of all the different names of how you have covered us, how you have protected us. So Lord, we're learning of all these stories, but help us to apply what we learn. It's not just stories, but there is application. There is purpose for these stories. So help us to learn, help us to have trainable hearts. Lord, we pray for the rest of today. And we pray for Pastor Alex as he preaches, gives us his word today. Lord, may you bless him, bless his words today. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bob.